Good morning. Pray with me. Gracious God, be with us in this moment. Prepare our hearts and minds to connect to you. May our worship today bring us closer to you and bring you glory. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During this Lent period, we've been looking at characters from the Bible that had some profound interaction with Jesus before his death. They're not the major characters in these stories, yet they all had their own special moment, an experience, an interaction, a defining moment with Jesus. In the book, The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath, a defining moment is a short experience that is both memorable and meaningful. They explain that a defining moment usually needs to be out of the ordinary or extraordinary. It needs to boost our senses and emotions, kind of like Malchus getting his ear cut off. That's pretty emotional and pretty extraordinary. I would say that it also is a moment that can provide insight that changes our understanding or our truth about something. It rewires us, so to speak, like with the centurion that we saw in week two. And a defining moment can also be social and connectional. That strengthens when we connect to others. Our scripture today, Luke 23, 24 through 26. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. So we're looking this week at Simon of Cyrene, a man who just happened to be in Jerusalem at that one moment in time. It would be an extraordinary moment, truth-telling and connectional. Perhaps it even changed the direction of his life. Have you ever had one moment that changed the direction of your life? Did you know it immediately, or did you see it in retrospect? In my 20s, I was looking for a job and was called for an interview for one in particular. The morning of my interview, you'll never guess, but my car wouldn't start. Probably should have gotten those oil changes my dad told me to. I stand on the steps of my apartment, wondering what to do because I was in my 20s and didn't know what to do, when a passerby, a girl in my apartment building, noticed me and asked me what was wrong. Now, to this day, I have no idea where she was going, nor really know much about her at all, but I know that in that moment, she stopped to help me. She could have responded in many different ways. She could have seen me and went a different direction, avoided me altogether, or just told me she couldn't help me. Instead, she offered to take me to my interview, wait, and then bring me home. I'm not sure what she saw in my eyes, but I did feel a lot of gratitude and hope that she stepped in to be supportive. So she drove me the 20 minutes to that interview, waited an hour in the heat with no air conditioning. It was June, 75 degrees, and then drove me home. I've never forgotten that moment, that act of kindness. But much like Simon of Cyrene in the Bible, my personal history book does not have anything else in her. I never really spoke to her again. But her actions that day got me that job, and it changed the direction of my life. It molded me and nurtured me. I spent over 10 years at that job, and it changed the direction of my life. And I often wonder if that act of kindness changed hers in some way as well. In the gospel accounts, it doesn't mention why Simon of Cyrene was in Jerusalem, but we know that the village of Cyrene was pretty far. It's in where modern-day Libya is. We know that there was a large Jewish population in Cyrene, and it is believed that they would travel to Jerusalem for annual feasts. So it's likely that Simon was there for Passover, but it could just be that he was a merchant doing business. Either way, he traveled a long road to get there. In Mark 15:21, Simon's two sons, Alexander and Rufus, were said to be with him. Doesn't say how old the boys are or what he had with him, but it would be reasonable to think that if he were there for Passover, he would have a lamb to sacrifice. Throughout Jewish history, it is believed that a blood sacrifice of a pure and unblemished lamb would save people from the punishment of death. It would redeem them in the moment of judgment. One example is the story of the plagues God sent the plagues to Egypt, the 10th being the death of every firstborn in the family. The enslaved Israelites were told to sacrifice a lamb and mark their doors with the lamb's blood so that when the moment of death came, it would pass by. Exodus 12 instructs the children of Israel to choose a lamb for the Pesach sacrifice, an unblemished lamb, to commemorate this Passover every year. So here Simon is. He's entering this big city, people everywhere. It was feast week, after all. I imagine the crowd was large, chaos everywhere. There were soldiers around, men carrying crosses, people screaming and crying. He would have instructed those boys to watch that lamb. None of the gospel accounts tell us whether Simon knew about Jesus or the events going on, but I suspect that given the description from the scene in all the gospel accounts, it wouldn't be hard to put together. There were women who mourned and wailed in Luke, and in Matthew and Mark, there were those who insulted, taunted, and mocked this king of the Jews. And here is Simon Cyrene passing through. He is described as a passerby who was on his way somewhere. He wasn't somebody standing there as an active spectator. If he's like many of us, he probably focused on where he needed to go. Perhaps he was trying to go unnoticed, not wanting to get involved. In any case, his circumstances changed the moment those Roman soldiers chose him. Who knows why they chose him? Whatever the reason, Simon of Cyrene was chosen to carry the crossbar for Jesus that day, whether he wanted to or not. In the book, On the Road to the Cross, Rob Burkhart describes the scene. He, Jesus, struggled to lift the cross and rise from the dirt as the Roman next to him screamed and cursed, kicked and punched, as if a little bit more brutality would get the prisoner to his feet. Simon knelt down next to the man and reached for the cross. "I don't know what you did, but you don't deserve this," Simon whispered. "Thank you" was the only response the dying man could manage. Burkhart's account also includes a moment when Simon looks into Jesus' eyes. He describes it as a resolute, determined gaze. I think to myself what it must have been like to gaze into the eyes of Jesus, even if I didn't know who he was at the time. Would the pain and brokenness of humanity come through? Would I see divine love and hope? Or would I see all of that? Simon picked up that crossbar and followed Jesus. It was a long road to the place where Jesus would die. I'm sure Simon was hunched over to carry that beam, and I would think his neck movement was limited. So for the entire long road to Golgotha, his focus remained on the man that he followed, this king of the Jews, as the taunt said. The Gospels don't say how long Simon participated in Jesus' last moments. In fact, they don't ever mention Simon again. But I have to imagine that moment changed him. I know I have transforming moments that I carry with me to this day. I have big moments like my aunt's last breath, the feeling of the presence of the Holy Spirit, my surrender and acceptance of God's grace in my life. I also have smaller moments when experiencing God's creation while listening to the ocean crash on the beach, or the birds chirping when I walk out to go to work in the morning, or even the laughter of a toddler, you know, that belly laugh that toddlers will get. I felt it with a whisper of breeze on my face and grass under my bare feet. Good grass, not pokey grass. You know those moments that just mean more, where for an instant you feel a connection to something bigger and you know that something's happening that you can't explain, but it means something. For Simon of Cyrene, a passerby, a bystander, this had to be one of those moments. At some point, sometime later, or even right then, he must have understood the redemption he received at that moment. As we reflect on the many moments Jesus shared with others on his way to the cross, I'm curious how often we miss in our lives the moments where we too can encounter Jesus. Where we may not be a big player in the story, but we can have that one moment in time. Rob Burkhart sums it up well. Simon was a bystander, a mere spectator who moved from the nameless, faceless crowd and became an active participant in the greatest story ever told. Our circumstances aren't the same, but our opportunity is. the irresistible and unstoppable truth of the crucified and resurrected Savior of humankind moves relentlessly throughout the world. Most are mere bystanders, but it doesn't have to be that way. All we need to do is step into his story. When we do, we find our story. This week, I invite you to discover those moments that will compel you to pause and recognize where God is working in the world. Find those powerful moments that bring you connection to Jesus and the redemption he gives you. Find those moments where you can watch the Lamb.
Greetings. Welcome to the First United Methodist Church, Brighton Campus. The following song is entitled Watch the Lamb, words and lyrics by Ray Boltz. The song is performed by Mike Tooman, worship leader at the 11 a.m. band-led worship. Thank you. Enjoy.
When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Then I heard the crowd cry out, "Crucify him!" Tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not wish to play. Why upon this day were a man condemned to die? Why were we standing there where they would soon pass by? I looked and said, even now they come. The first one cried for mercy. The people gave him none. The second one was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I can still hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, "There's Jesus." I could scarce believe my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross, falling on the ground. I watched him as he struggled, and I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. And in that moment I felt such agony. And in that moment I felt such loss. Till a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, "You, you're the king." carry his cross. At first I tried to resist him, then his hand reached for his sword. So I knelt and I took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. And they led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his hands and feet. Yet upon the cross I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them." Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commit my spirit, he prayed. And then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, "Father, please forgive us. The lamb ran away." Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms and we turned and faced the cross. Then I said, "Dear children, watch the
Let's pray. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes the sins of the world away, be our Savior. O Lamb of God, we come to you with all praise. Lord, on this day, we give you thanks for your ability to love. Love through brokenness. Love through pain. We give you thanks for your ability to give. To give grace and forgiveness and mercy, to give your life. And Lord, this day, we give you thanks for being along with you on this journey toward resurrection. And Lord, we ask that you might shape us, that you might fill us with joy, even as you sacrifice, that we are whole and that we are created in the way that you want us to be. We give you thanks for the gifts of skills and talents and spiritual gifts that we have. We give you thanks for the passions on our hearts that lead us where we go. We give you thanks for our full lives. And we put our future into your hands, knowing that you love us that much to carry us forward. For the places in life where people struggle not knowing your love, where there are places where people need comfort and there seems to be none, where hopelessness seems to have taken over. Lord, enter in by your power, and bring the fullness of your life and your love to people. And if it is to be through us that pain is eased, that hearts are mended, that spirits are lifted, then give us the words to say, the actions to do, the courage to move, the strength to continue. Help us, Lord, help us to move forward in your name and to make this world a better place by our faith and by our presence. Lord, we ask also your blessing on others who are working in your name, that their efforts might not be in vain, but that your kingdom would come, your reign would come to this world. We ask this trusting that in all things your heart is open and you are shaping your people for love. We ask now that you be with us in this time of silent prayer as we lift to you our concerns, our needs, fully trusting in you. And now, Lord, we pray as your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.